this Sensational Sex podcast episode, you'll find out what is No Nut November and how it has grown since 2011 into a huge men's movement.
We're going to talk about how the research says one thing about masturbation and porn, but people ignore the research and go with their emotions.
We then give some ideas to men who are trying to balance between masturbation and watching porn.
Make sure to listen, because this Sensational Sex podcast episode will give you the tools to create a sex life that is fulfilling for you.
Welcome to the Sensational Sex podcast, where we help women in long-term relationships thrive after the honeymoon stage is over. Are you a woman who wants a deep, intimate and satisfying connection with her partner? Of course you do. Amy Rowan and Dr. Trina Reed have the answers, and all you have to do is join us each week. Soon, you'll be that woman who effortlessly has a satisfying sex life. Follow us on social media at Sensational Sex Podcast. Share this episode, leave a review, and thank you for subscribing. Now, let's start the show. We are thrilled to partner with XSENS, who are all about making your sensual experience the best it can be.
XSENS has an amazing and luxurious cooling arousing gel that is perfect for those motivate me moments that we'll tell you about halfway through this podcast.
We love what XSENS is doing for your sensual and sexual experience.
Check them out at XSENS-USA.com. That's XSENS-USA.com.
Hello, beautiful people. I'm Amy Rowan, the Suburban Sexologist. Thank you for listening to the Sensational Sex Podcast. We're so happy that you're joining us.
I'm Dr. Trina Reed, and even though your sex life will never be perfect, you can create a sex life that is perfect for you, and we're here to help you with that. Hey, Amy. Nice t-shirt.
Thank you. I like your t-shirt too. Wait, do you have a coffee mug?
I do have a coffee mug.
Amy, why does every single listener need a Motivate Me t-shirt and coffee mug?
This t-shirt and coffee mug is kind of like a Swiss Army knife. It's an easy way to initiate sex, communicate, and ask for what you want. Imagine what your partner would say if they saw you wearing this.
I know exactly what your partner's going to say, and it's going to be all good stuff. So if you want your very own Motivate Me t-shirt and coffee mug, you're in luck. We're doing a limited sale from November 11th to 25th. Go to our website, sensationalsexpodcast.com, to find out more.
So I imagine it's probably a little chillier up there in Canada, but right here in Georgia, we are getting some fall in the air, and we're heading into November, which I just love this month.
Well, there's a saying where I come from, it isn't Halloween unless the kids are in their snowsuits under their costumes. So that's how we do Halloween up here.
Oh, man. Yeah. For us, Halloween, it can be 80 degrees or it can be 40 degrees. It's very interesting, and you never know which one you're going to get.
So once a month, we do a we don't have the answer, but we'll do our best sex question. In our past podcast episodes, we were talking a lot about women's shame, but men also carry shame. And this podcast was inspired by our very own Amy. So why don't you tell us why you picked this topic?
We're going to talk about No Nut November, which is often abbreviated to NNN. And this is an annual internet challenge of sexual abstinence and not masturbating during the month of November.
It originated in 2011 and grew in popularity among male users.
And although No Nut November was originally intended to be satirical, you know, it was really, I think, initially supposed to be a bit of a joke, some participants went on to claim that abstaining from ejaculating and not watching pornography had health benefits.
In 2017, the movement started to gain popularity on social media, and it is associated with the NoFap community on Reddit, which encourages its members not to masturbate. So the Reddit community, No Nut November, grew from 16,500 subscribers in November 2018 to 52,000 subscribers in November 2019. So apparently there are a lot of men who are concerned about this. I did a quick search and found an Instagram video by Jack Pigott. And in this video, Jack claims that he was once addicted to masturbating to porn. And he's encouraging other guys who are addicted to porn and masturbating to join him over the No Nut November to kick their habit. I find this interesting because it went from an idea in 2011 to an industry now. So Jack has a five-step process to, in his words, stop wanking. He's Australian. We will link to Jack's video in the show notes so that you can watch it. So what do you think about there being a five-step program for men to stop masturbating and watching porn for a month?
I think it's wonderful that if men feel like this masturbating and porn watching is out of control, that there's people out there discussing it and giving ways to manage it better and normalizing it. I know for a lot of men, watching porn and masturbating while they're watching porn does cause them a lot of shame.
What this reminds me of a little bit is Dry January. Have you heard of Dry January before? Dry January, it's similar concept, but it's basically alcohol, right? It's like after all the excesses of the holiday season, a lot of people are like, I'm not going to drink any alcohol for the month of January. And it seems to me sort of like a similar challenge of let's take a step back from this habit and see a little bit about what life is like without that particular habit, alcohol, masturbation in it. And as someone who's participated in dry January many times over the years and seen the value of it, I think that it has helped me gain perspective on, again, sort of the habitual rituals that we get into around alcohol and starting to see how you do feel without it. Now, I understand that masturbation and alcohol are two completely different things and have different effects on our mind, our body. But I do also think that those habits can be wrapped up in shame. And, you know, certainly during COVID, I know that a lot of people, their alcohol use increased. And I can only imagine that their masturbation habits probably increased during that time as well.
To get into a good habit, you need to do something for 30 days in a row, which is probably why they're doing this No Nut November. However, I just wonder how much difference it makes. And do men actually stop masturbating and do they stop watching porn? Do they take a step back and get some perspective, or abstaining from it for 30 days and then they go back into their old habits? Does that make them feel even worse because they failed? I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think it probably is very individual to the man and his intentions around why he participates in it.
No Nut November has been around since 2011. And this is the first time that I heard of it. I've had male friends who confided in me that they were going to abstain from masturbation and porn, but they never told me it was for No Nut November. And I always questioned them why they were doing it. But ultimately, if you want to give something up for a month, you know, that's your business.
You know, I think there's a value to examining, again, the rituals, the habits, the things that we do, and especially if they are bringing you shame. You know, if it's something that's bringing up shame, it's bringing up feelings of why am I doing this? Why am I doing this so much? Am I doing this? Is this too much? Is this okay? Then, you know, I think there's a value of looking at that.
However, this is where it gets murky, because the organization NOFAP is an anti-masturbation movement, which has been linked to religious organizations. Supporters of NOFAP say avoiding masturbation for prolonged periods of time have many benefits, including enhanced focus and concentration and decreased pornography use.
And the NOFAP movement endorses a very specific understanding of masturbation and human sexuality.
and it argues that pornography is harmful. NoFap suggests that avoiding masturbation can help people regain control over their lives and avoid compulsive or addictive sexual behavior.
The NoFap movement says it has more extreme benefits, such as depression relief or overall health benefit.
And NoFap goes on to say that people who feel guilty about masturbation or spend significant time masturbating may find avoiding it offers time for other activities, which may improve health. So what do you think about this?
You know, my motto in life is everything in moderation. So, yeah. You know, and there are people who have compulsive behaviors around masturbation. And if you are aware of this compulsive behavior and it's interfering with your life, checking something like this out might be a good option for you. However, it feels like they have an agenda and there's a lot of judgment around masturbating. And masturbating is a very natural thing and should not be judged as shameful.
I completely agree. And it's a tricky thing, though, because I think you're right on everything in moderation. And we know, you know, as sexologists, you know, that masturbation is healthy and normal. However, I think that when you add in just the 24/7 unlimited availability of internet pornography, and then you tie that with people who may be at home for a long time or, again, compulsive natures, you can see how it can potentially become, again, more compulsive, potentially out of control. And I know that I've worked with clients who have masturbated so much that their bodies, their penises don't respond to the feeling of a vagina because they're used to a very particular grip. And so teaching them how to come out of that is completely and totally possible, but it's when they're becoming completely acclimated, accustomed to orgasming, feeling pleasure in a certain way with a certain grip that's not able to be replicated by their partner. I think that's when things start to get tricky.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to share something very personal, and I hope my kids don't kill me for saying this. But both my teenage sons have shared that they are scared to become addicted to porn. And I don't know where this came from. And what I found concerning is when I threw on my sexologist hat and then I gave them the research on masturbation and porn, they don't want to hear the research. They're both ashamed and fearful about this. And as a sexologist mom, who's done my very best to raise my children not to feel this way, it's baffling. And when I give my sons the porn research, they reply to me with something to the effect that I'm being elitist. Mm-hmm. And they feel like it's a big gap between what the academics say and what happens in a typical teenage boy's bedroom. And my sons and I have also talked about what is too much masturbation because they fear that they could be doing too much of it. And again, I don't know where this came from because that's not how I brought them up. So like the social messaging is just so prevalent.
Yeah. You know, well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. And what's interesting is actually my teenage son, we've had talks about this and we haven't gone as in depth as it sounds like you have with your sons, but he's like, Mom, no, I'm not into that. I don't like that. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And I haven't really been able to probe. He hasn't really allowed me to probe like the reasoning behind it. And I suspect it's probably something along the same as what your sons are feeling. And to your point, you know, and I don't know this for a fact. And I think some people would tell me you're crazy for thinking this, but I genuinely don't know if my 16-year-old son masturbates. I've seen no evidence of it. I can walk into his room at any time. And I almost feel like I'm in a sex education, that Netflix show, you know, where, you know, Gillian Anderson is the sex therapist and her son is, you know, so afraid to masturbate and all that stuff. And I'm like, I'm wondering if somehow the openness around sex that we, you know, that they're experiencing more than other things has almost, you know, pushed them into this other thing. So anyway, I guess I just share that to just let you know that I feel like my son is maybe experiencing some of that too. And I'm also like, oh my gosh, have I somehow said or done something to create shame, which of course is the last thing that we ever want to do. So,
although I've read the research on porn and masturbation, which we're going to get into, my anecdotal experience shows that the fear and shame around porn and masturbation in the societal messages is everywhere. And, you know, I think it's definitely something that we want to talk to our teenage sons about. Speaking of which, Amy, let's discuss what the experts have to say about sex and porn addiction. The American Psychiatric Association and the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of Mental Disorders do not recognize porn addiction as an official diagnosis.
And the American Association of Sexuality Educators, Counselors, and Therapists also argue that there's insufficient scientific evidence to support the existence of sex or porn addiction.
There is no scientific evidence that abstinence has any positive effect on your mood, energy levels, or motivation.
There's also no scientific evidence that suggests that masturbation is harmful. Additionally, there's no studies that state that avoiding masturbation avoids any specific benefits.
However, for many years, researchers didn't believe the G-spot existed, which was confusing for those women who were having G-spot orgasms. So just because there isn't scientific research to validate porn or sex addiction, it doesn't mean it isn't true.
I think what stands out to me here is that accessibility to porn, VR, you know, camming, you know, all of this stuff is progressing so fast, so much faster than these studies can keep up with. Because studies, you know, studies like this take, I mean, I don't know, you're a doctor, not me, but, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years, depends on how longitudinal it goes. Also, in my studies, my sexology study, my organization, Sex Coach University, takes the stance that porn addiction is not an addiction, as porn addiction isn't real, but there is problematic compulsory behavior. And so, you know, so I think it's important to recognize that this is constantly evolving. And I know many, many people who would say that pornography has, if not completely and totally destroyed their marriage, certainly had a major negative effect on it. And so I don't think it's fair to discount those people's experiences, because again, it is one thing to look at a whole bunch of numbers, and then it's another thing to actually be living with somebody who is spending more time on their computer than spending time with you.
So my observation is there is a group of people who are compulsive about porn and masturbation, and it does get in the way of them having a happy, healthy relationship with themselves and their partner. However, the vast majority of people do have the checks and balances to not let porn and masturbation take over their lives. But for many years, and to some extent even today, sex and porn addiction were very sexy clickbait topics, and the media has really blown this out of proportion.
But I will share that earlier on in my relationship, porn was a negative influence in our relationship. When my husband and I first started dating, he shared with me, he was actually open about it. He said, Amy, I like to look at porn when I masturbate, but I promise that this will never interfere with our relationship, with our sexual connection. But this is something that I do. And I had a really, 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 really hard time with it. And we had many, many, many fights over the years over it. And ultimately, and it took probably 20 years. It took me probably 20 years to get to a place where it finally didn't bother me. And ultimately what it was for me was it was a self-esteem thing for me. And certainly as we got married, and then as I got pregnant, and as we had children, and my body changed, and my mood changed, and my weight, and all of these different things. And then every once in a while, I would discover that he'd been looking at porn, and I would blow up because I felt bad about myself. And he felt bad about he didn't want to do anything that would make me feel bad. But I actually admire the fact that he said, this is something normal for me to do. It's not interfering with our sexual connection, which it never did, other than my own self-esteem. And ultimately, how I overcame how I was feeling about it is I'd never really looked at porn, shockingly. And for me, it wasn't actually visual porn. I preferred listening to like erotica and things like that. Once I started exploring my own version of erotic stimulation, and I really actually learned to recognize how completely and totally separate it was from the connection that I had for my husband, then I finally got it. And then poof, it wasn't a problem anymore.
Amy, thank you so much for sharing that. There's going to be a lot of people listening to what you just said, and you've just helped a lot of people with that share. So thanks for getting so vulnerable. I'm sure that was tricky for you to do. So well done. Well done, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, and the ironic part of it for me was through all that, at that point, I was an intimacy toy consultant. I was like, I sell sex toys for a living. Like, I'm making a living off of helping people masturbate. And yet when I find out that my husband has been masturbating, I get mad. I was like, what a hypocrite I am.
No, no, no.
So,
no.
And that's how I felt. That's how I felt at the time.
Well, I'm saying you're not, because the research shows you cannot become addicted to porn and sex. However, there is a disconnect. Like you were saying, there's a disconnect that we have because we have so much fear and shame and misunderstanding around this topic. So you just showed us how that disconnect works. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And this also just shows that men also have the same irrational shame and guilt and fear as women. It just shows up in a very different way.
Yeah. And No Nut November really isn't a new concept. Lent, which is a traditional Catholic religious observation in which participants abstain from certain foods and luxuries, which can include sexual activity for 6 weeks leading up to Easter.
Ramadan, a religious observation in which Muslims abstain from food, water, and sexual activity during daytime for a lunar month.
Yeah, I think we see abstinence being promoted in different religious organizations, and they promote the health benefits of abstaining from not just sex, but from different what are the seven deadly sins?
Lust, greed, sloth. I'm thinking about that movie. What's that movie with Brad Pitt? Seven. Lust, greed, sloth.
Anyways, there's seven. And
there's seven of them.
There's seven. And you can email us and tell us what the seven are at sensationalsexpodcast@gmail.com. And a lot of religious organizations really recommend that you abstain for a while from one of the seven deadly sins.
Well, and you know what? I think the core of this abstinence from these different things, whether it's sex or food, it is abstaining from pleasure. And that's what it's like, okay, you're going to abstain from eating these good foods, or you're going to abstain. And when you are promoting abstaining from pleasure, you're also creating shame and guilt around indulging in pleasure. So as someone who grew up in New Orleans, and everyone, what does everyone think about with New Orleans? Mardi Gras, of course. Or Mardi Gras is the day before Lent starts. It's Fat Tuesday. It's the day that you go completely and totally crazy before you have 40 days and nights of abstaining. So it's actually a religious holiday. Or it's connected to the religious holiday. But when you're promoting abstinence, then you're also simultaneously creating shame around the indulgence of whatever it is you're abstaining from. Then there has been some pushback to No Nut November. In 2017, there was a related internet challenge. And I'm sorry, this sounds awful to me, but I'm not a guy, so I don't know. It's called Destroy Dick December. And this started serving as a counterpoint. It's a parody of No Nut November. And in 2017, Destroy Dick December, it's supposed to start on December 1st. And each day you masturbate until completion in a quantity in relation to the date.
Meaning you must masturbate one time on the 1st, twice on December 2nd, three times on December 3rd, and so on until you get to the 31st. I don't want to masturbate 31 times in a day. Thank you very much.
No. And if we're talking about missing the point, I think this is the clear illustration of missing the point, because if you are participating in No Net November to be able to gain some clarity, examine your habits, just look at some perspective and just see if there's anything that changes that you want to grow, and then you flip into this destroyed dick December, then yeah, I think you've just missed the point completely, in my opinion. So I'm sorry if that's controversial, but that's how I feel about that. So
I don't think there is an answer here. I think it can be tough for some men to find balance between masturbating and watching porn. So maybe something like No Nut November can help a guy to take a step back and assess whether what he is doing is adding or subtracting from the quality of his life, relationships, and sexual experience.
And we'll be right back. Hey, men, are you tired of having the same old, boring sex?
For those guys wanting their partners to be more interested in sex, listen up.
I'm Amy Rowan, the Suburban Sexologist.
And I'm Dr. Trina Reed. And women in long-term relationships are a lot more likely to lose interest in sex because of the type of sex she's having. When you change the sex, chances are her sexual interest will increase.
Tip number one. She wants something different, but she doesn't know what it is. Women want to orgasm, but need it to be part of an overall experience. However, women have never been asked what she wants from sex outside of an orgasm.
Tip number two. She is unable to tell you she wants something different from sex. The one thing stopping most women from getting her sexual groove is an inability to tell you what she wants. Please let her know that you are open to this conversation.
Tip number three, there are a lot of physical and mental roadblocks that are getting in the way of her sexual desire. Chances are, when sex is initiated, she will not want sex. She needs to put her body into the motion and hope that her sexual desire catches up. FYI, women can orgasm without feeling sexual desire or arousal.
Here's an easy tip. Make initiation more fun with our Motivate Me t-shirts and coffee mug.
Listen every week to the Sensational Sex Podcast to learn how to create a sex life that is fulfilling for you.
Go to sensationalsexpodcast.com to subscribe. And while you're there, pick up your Motivate Me t-shirt and coffee mug.
Make sure to email us to let us know how you are motivating your partner.
We love to hear the success stories. Sometimes, okay, maybe a lot of times, women need a little help getting in the mood. So men, if you want to know how to make sex happen more often, then listen up.
Most women in long-term relationships need a little motivation to get from eh to yeah. And that's where you need the help of Xcenz Cooling Arousal Gel.
Hi, I'm Dr. Trina Reed from the Sensational Sex Podcast.
And I'm Amy Rowan, the Suburban Sexologist, and a big thanks to Xcenz for bringing you these sensual arousal tips.
So maybe you've had the experience where you initiate sex and your partner did not seem into it.
Instead of feeling rejected, you need to look at this a little differently. Your job is to help coax her sexual desire and arousal, and sometimes that can take a little time. This is why every sex expert under the sun recommends foreplay. And I call it coreplay because it's not optional.
Too many women feel there is something wrong with her if she doesn't experience spontaneous arousal. Meaning, when sex is initiated, she is immediately turned on. So for your information, she probably feels very insecure about this and doesn't know how to tell you.
You need to let her know that it's okay and that you understand that the longer you've been together, the more she'll experience a delayed sexual response, meaning it's going to take her body some time to catch up to what's going on.
So nobody else is going to tell you this, so we will. Having her come first is not always the solution. In fact, when a woman feels the pressure to perform on command with every sexual experience, it can decrease her chances of orgasming.
Instead, you need to help wake up her body with sensuality. And that's where Xcend's cooling arousal gel is going to be your new best friend.
And it's really easy to use. Just apply a small drop to the clitoris, penis, nipples, or anywhere cooling is desired to discover an intense and explosive sensation. And the best part is you get up to 100 applications per bottle.
Here's my pro tip. Xcend's cooling arousal gels are super strong, so just use a drop to start. This is not a lubricant. However, it will help her lubricate. You can always add more. It's best to let your partner apply this because you don't know exactly what feels good to her.
There are three body safe and flavored arousal gels to choose from. There's raspberry mint, hot vanilla espresso, and the award-winning ginger lychee.
It gets even better. Go right this second and do a solid for your partner and your relationship. Go to the Xcend's website, xcends-usa.com. That's xcends-usa.com. And use the coupon code SENSATIONAL to get 20% off your purchase.
Intense and explosive cooling sensations and a discount. It doesn't get much better than that.
And now, back to the show.
I see the value of No Nut November if you are going into it looking for some perspective on your habits. So I see the value in that. I think also as sexologists, we know that masturbation is healthy and normal, and when done in moderation and when done in out of respect for yourself, out of respect for your relationship. And just being aware, you know, there are certainly dark corners of the internet that you can stumble into. And if you're finding yourself actively seeking out, you know, more and more explicit, darker, hardcore content, you know, then this might be something that you want to take a closer look at. I think for some people, and easier for some people to start to fall into darker rabbit holes that they may not want to end up in.
And this might be a great opportunity for you to speak to a sex therapist. You know, they've seen this. They know how to manage it. There's going to be no judgment. In fact, you know, you'll probably feel a lot less shame once you speak to a professional about what's going on in your life. So think about that. So we're going to leave you with some thoughts so you can make your own decision. First of all, masturbation is a normal and harmless sexual practice that can be part of a healthy sex life. And masturbation offers some health benefits.
I mean, I will say one thing that I do like to say about masturbation, especially when talking about female masturbation, is you can't get pregnant. And if watching porn and masturbating begins to interfere with a person's daily life, it may be worth considering trying to masturbate less frequently.
People who want to stop masturbating can get support from the NoFap community, but there is generally no medical or moral reason to stop.
And a person who feels pressure to stop masturbation should really consider their own values. It is their decision if they masturbate or not, and how often they do it.
It really is up to you. I think what we're doing with this podcast is just raising an awareness of what this is and some ideas for you to mull over. And ultimately, it's up to you how you want to move forward. And I hope you can move forward without shame. I just imagine what this piece of your life would look like if you took the shame component out.
Absolutely. So if you want your very own Motivate Me t-shirts and coffee mug, you are in luck. We are doing a limited sale November 11th through 25th. So head on over to our website, sensationalsexpodcast.com, to find out more.
Until our next podcast, stay sexy.
On next week's episode of the Sensational Sex Podcast. Are you worth the trouble that it takes to have good sex?
Understanding what you need from the sexual experience, which may be different from your partner, and then ask for what you want is all based on you feeling worthy.
Hi, I'm Amy Rowan, the Suburban Sexologist.
And I'm Dr. Trina Reed, and we're so happy to help your sexuality thrive after the honeymoon stage is over.
In this episode, we go through a letter from a woman that we'll call Jane and the sexual struggles that she's dealing with.
So how did women get here? It's completely messed up that Jane is compelled to push herself so hard, ask for so little, and expect even less.
Jane needs to learn how to communicate about her sexual needs, set boundaries, and negotiate. And this seems like such a big impasse for most women. More important, why does communicating about sexual needs, setting boundaries, and negotiating seem to be such an impasse for most women? More importantly, what can you do about it?
Make sure to listen because this podcast will give you the tools to create a sex life that is fulfilling for you.
Are you ready to experience more passion and more pleasure? In my suburban intimacy practice, I offer one-on-one sex and intimacy coaching for women and couples. Book a complimentary discovery call at suburbanintimacy.com or learn more about my Intimacy Ignite program, your solution to experiencing satisfying and fulfilling sexual experiences and connection, even when you're busy, tired, and stressed. Intimacy Ignite is a curated collection of stimulating sex education, activities, and challenges, whether you are single or in a relationship, plus live coaching with me twice a month. Save $10 off your first month with the code PODCAST. You can learn more at intimacyignite.org.
Is more fulfilling sex on your mind, but not in your bedroom? Then go to trinareed.com to get your free copy of the Sex Bootcamp Masterclass. While you're there, check out my award-winning fiction book, The Sex Course, that went to number one in its Amazon category 3 days after launch. Both the Sex Course and Sex Bootcamp Workbook are available in audiobook. If you want to hang with groovy, like-minded, sex-positive women, then join my online courses and the success community. It's your time to create the sex life of your dreams. It all starts at trinareed.com.
Did you love what you learned today? Share this episode with someone who needs it. Friends, don't let friends have bad sex. Leave a review for this episode and follow, like, or subscribe on the listening app of your choice. We love hearing from our listeners. Email us at sensationalsexpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on all social media platforms at sensationalsxpodcast and join our mailing list at sensationalsexpodcast.com.